The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Boy, it's good to be saved, isn't it? Amen. Good to know the Lord. I'm glad you're in church today. I want to thank the preacher and you folks for the good place we have to stay. Very comfortable, a lot of good goodies in the room. It's very, very kind, and we try to treat people that way. I love your preacher and his family. We had him for many, many years when they were in evangelism. Always a wonderful example. If you've never traveled any, you don't know how hard that is. And always right on time, right, everything was wonderful. It was a blessing to our folks. And you're fortunate to have him as your pastor. And I mean that with all my heart. I'm glad he's here. This is a great work. I've enjoyed being with the men. I hope you fellas have learned a little something. Most men, you can't teach them anything because they think they know everything. And I hope you fellas have got something from it. And then I know my wife did a good job with you ladies because I live with her. And I know she puts her heart into it. It's good to have my daughter and granddaughter here today. They've just recently moved back to the area. And it's good to have them. Now, right quickly, I want to take a few minutes to help you men, just for a few minutes. And then we'll get right into the message, okay? The word fine, this is the word the woman uses to end an argument. And they are right, and you need to shut up. When she says, fine. 5 minutes, she's getting dressed. This is half an hour. 5 minutes is only 5 minutes if you have just been given five more minutes to watch the ball game before helping around the house. When she says nothing, this is the calm before the storm. This means something. And you should be on your toes. Arguments that begin with nothing always end in fine. Now, this is a dare, not permission. Don't do it. If she gives you a loud sigh, this is not actually a word, but it's a nonverbal statement often misunderstood by men. A loud sigh means she thinks you're an idiot and wonders why she is wasting her time standing here arguing with you over nothing. Now, if she says that's okay, this is one of the most dangerous statements that a woman can make to a man. That's okay means that she wants to think long and hard before deciding how and when you're going to pay for your mistake. Now, if she accidentally says thanks, a woman is thanking you, do not question it or faint, just say, you're welcome. Now, I hope that helped you, men, next time you're talking with your wife, okay? In the book of the Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And when you find that, in honor of the Word of God, if you would stand, please, in honor of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And I want to be a blessing to you. I don't want to waste your time or the preacher's time. And I appreciate you coming. I know some of you folks have had a tough week maybe. So if you will listen with your heart and pray for me as I speak and follow along with your eyes as I read the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible says in verse number 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me and all things, and to keep the ordinances as I have delivered them unto you. Now, I'm reading to you the Bible, not what I think, not what your preacher thinks, but what the Bible says. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. I'm going to speak to you this morning on this thought, the proper order. The proper order of the family. All right, let's pray again. Lord, thank you again for this wonderful work of God here. And certainly thank you for the pastor and his vision and his love for these good people. He has a lot for them because he loves them, wants them to grow and be prosperous as a Christian. And thank you for folks who've been here last night and come. And I hope, Lord, and trust and pray that something was said, and I'm sure it was, to be a blessing to all. And then this morning in the Sunday school hour, and Lord, I mean it with all my heart. I'm not trying to butter anybody up or trying to get anybody's sympathy. I want to be a blessing and a help. This is very important. And these people have come expecting something from you. And this is the way you do it, through the man. And I trust that you will help me, Lord, to say exactly what I need to say in order to be a blessing, Lord, to you and to these good folks. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. 1 Timothy 2. I'm sorry, we'll skip down for sake of time to verse number 9. 1 Timothy 2, 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, sobriety, not with braiding of the hair, or gold apparel, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, let the women learn in silence with all supplication. And that doesn't mean you have to tell her to sit around and be a dummy. That's not what that means. It says, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now here's what I want you to see mainly. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. What I want you to see is God does everything in order. God is a God of order. And the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. When you get out of God's order, everything gets messed up. Now that's true in your life. That's true in my life. And we're supposed to follow the order of the Scripture in our lives, in our homes, and everything. And God put the family like He wants it, and God put an order in the family. Now, the family was the first thing created after the world was made. And you know that. And you read in your Bible, we're not going to read it there, where Adam was formed, where God made Adam and breathed it through his nostrils and became a living soul. We covered that with the men. You have a body, but the main part of you is your soul. And God created him. Now, let me say something to you here. The man should not be the dictator. He should not be that. I'm not talking about that. But God created the man to be the driving force of the home. Now, you ought to set the tone. Your wife shouldn't have to tell you, all right, come on, get up, let's go. No, you ought to be the driving force. You fellows that are not afraid of your wife, say amen right there. Okay, I just wondered who was afraid of his wife here. But the man ought to be the driving force of the home. That's the way it was years ago. I mean, he was the guy. It doesn't mean he was the smart aleck or he carried a big stick or he carried a gun around or anything like that. He was just the driving force of the home. That's how God created the man. You look all through your Bible, God picked men. Now, he picked some good women to do some great things, but in the home, God made Adam first. Not only that, he ought to plow the way. You ought to set the way for your family. In every area, you ought to set the way. And then you ought to take the lead. You ought to take the lead, and a good woman will let you take the lead if you lead correctly. Now, I know I'm saying some strange things that's opposite of society today, but there is an order in the Bible. And the Bible said the man was formed and then the woman. And then the man ought to be the initiator. You shouldn't have been told, fellas, by your wife, let's go to church today. That shouldn't have happened. Now, I don't care whether you like that or not. Peer pressure don't bother me anymore. I carry two guns. And I'd as soon to shoot just to say, let's fight. I mean, let's waste time to fight. Let's just get it over with. Amen. The woman shouldn't have to say, let's get the kids ready to go to church. You ought to be the initiator of that. That's the way it was years ago. And that's the way it ought to be today. And that's the way the Bible plans that. And listen, the man ought to oversee the family and its welfare. He ought to oversee the family and its welfare. You ought to make sure your family's taken care of. That's your job as a man. You're to be the leader. Now, it's okay if your wife has to work and something happened. My wife had to work while I was in Bible college. But as soon as I got a better job, she quit working and she stayed at home. Now, nowadays, we've traded babies for a briefcase because we want a bigger car, we want a bigger house, we want more money. And if the woman can stay at home with the kids, that's where she needs to be. Amen. And the Bible is very plain in Genesis 3 that the man is to earn his living by the sweat of his face. That's what the Bible says. A man has to work for a living. Whatever you do for a living, you're supposed to do that. And you're supposed to be the man of the house. God made the man first. Now, the man, the father, listen to me, he's to be the leader of the home. And you can do that. You can do it in the right way. You can do it in the scripture way. And the man is to bring emotional stability to the home. Now, fellows, listen to me. If you fall apart easy, your wife's going to fall apart. Your kids are going to fall apart. I mean, all opposite of heaven can be breaking loose, and you ought to be steady as a rock. I mean, you ought to be steady as everything. I know I'm saying strange things today because we got a bunch of sissy men. I've never seen a day when we have so many sissy men. You know, you are to be the emotional stability of that home. Now, your wife is emotional, and she's going to cry at times, and you're going to say, what's wrong? And she's going to say nothing. Don't ask her anything else. Just let her cry. Amen. Your kids depend on you to be the emotional stability of that home. And if we ever needed a day when we have somebody has some emotion, it ought to be the man. I mean, everything ought to be okay as long as you're alive and your family's home and your kids home. I mean, everything can be falling apart, but they ought to say, my daddy's here, everything is okay. My kids never seen me sick but one time, and it scared them. They didn't know what to think. Now, and that's going to happen sometime. And I know sickness is going to come sometime. I'm not saying that. And I know difficulty is going to come sometime. But we live in a world that's rocking, and it's going crazy, and it's going nuts. And you ought to be the emotional stability of that home and say, everything's okay in my Father's house and in my house. Amen. 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 We've got to have that today, fellas. So the men have got to raise up and do that. My wife calls me her knight in shining armor. Don't tell her the armor's getting rusty, and it's been a little bit, okay? Now, I'm telling you, listen to me. We've got to have some men today to come back who are real men, and it doesn't mean you have to be 6 foot tall and bench press 450 pounds. No, that doesn't mean that. That means that you just have to be the man. God made you to be the man, and if you'll trust in him, you bring emotional stability to that home. And then you're supposed to be the protector of that home, fellas. You protect that home. You keep things out of that home that shouldn't belong in there. And you stand up and you do that. And that's not easy sometimes. Now, God made man first, and then God looked, and you know that, and he said God needs, Adam was alone, and he said, God said he needs somebody to help him. He needs somebody to help him. And so God created the woman. Now, a woman is uniquely made. She is just uniquely made as the man. And she was created as the man, you know that. God took a rib from the side of Adam, and he made a woman. There's nothing more unique than a godly woman, a feminine woman. Now, and God made women to be feminine. I realize in this room, there's single mothers. I know that. I realize in this room, some of you women had to raise your own children. I know that. But the Bible plan, God has a Bible plan, and the plan is for the woman to be the feminine woman. And if we could get back to that, and we probably never will, we would have different things. Yes. Now, I don't want a woman that can run a jackhammer. No, that's a man's place. I told the men, every woman ought to throw a football like I do left-handed, real awkward. You know, and what used to, we had that. And you ought to be thrilled, lady, that you're a woman. God made you uniquely a woman. And the woman, the wife's function is just as important as the man. You have a role to fulfill. Most women that get out of their role are miserable women. Years and years ago, used to be a guy on TV. I can't think of his name now. He was gray-headed and had a TV show. And I should have written this down. And he interviewed so many women, 35 years and under, who without a husband and had children. And they wanted it that way, but they said, we are misguided women. We need a man in this home. And every woman needs a man in the home. And a woman has a unique function. She has a unique place. Now, I would not want to be a woman for anything. Forget that. I don't know why a man wants to look like a woman. I mean, I'm serious. I don't understand that. God made you a man. He made a woman a woman. And a woman has an important function of the home. She has a place in the home. And if you look in 1 Timothy again, chapter 5, now I know this is referring to one segment of society of women, but the thought is still there. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and look down if you will, please, and verse number 14, and notice this. I will therefore that the younger women marry, watch this, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak respectfully. Now, a woman has a unique place in the home. I'm talking about God's proper order, folks. I'm talking about God's proper order. And if we can get things back in order again, hey, name me five families, name me five, where the daddy is faithful in church, he goes soul winning, he loves his preacher, he loves God, he loves America, he loves his kid, he loves his wife, he's a man of honesty, he's a man of integrity, and he's a man who wants to do something for God. Name me five in your mind. Name me five. Why can't you name five? Now, years ago, the order was the man, the woman, the children. Amen. And when I got saved several years ago, almost 50 years ago, in north side of Fort Worth, Diamond Hill area, there were some older men in the church. And those older men, preacher, knew that book. They'd never been to Bible college. They were just ordinary laymen. They weren't smart alecks. Their Bibles looked like it had been blown up with a hurricane, real thick, because they'd been used so much. And a couple of those younger men took me under their wing, under their arm. They didn't grow wings, you understand that. And those older men helped me. How many of you older men could take a young man and help him today? Why can't you? Why can't you? I went soul winning with an older man named Brother Fuller. Now, Brother Fuller, it took him 3 days to tell you hello. You know, just a good, slow plodder. And I hadn't been saved long, and I thought I knew everything. We knocked on the door. A fella came to the door and invited us in. And Brother Fuller said, "We came out here to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to be saved." And the fellow said, "I'd like to know more about the book of the Revelation." Now, here I am, 21 years old. Brother Fuller's up in age now, around 60 or older. And I said, "I think I can tell you." And he said, "Sir, you need to know how to be born again. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "That's the most important thing for your life." And I said, And afterward, we got in the car, and Brother Fuller said, "Now, Brother Cannon, I appreciate your zeal." He said, "But that man needed to get saved." Now, he took me under his wing. We have women in our church, my church back at home, grandmas that couldn't find the scripture if you look for it. But they have blue hair. And they know about the latest fashion. Where's that old-fashioned grandmother that knows how to make biscuits and not go poof? Come on, folks. Now, let me tell you something. I don't care what you, things were better back then. I'm serious. I got grandma at my church that they can't boil water without burning it. But they know everything on TV. We're out of order, folks. If you don't think this country's out of order, you're asleep. Now, if we get back to the man being the man, being a loving husband, loving his wife, treating her like a woman, treating her like somebody special, loving his children, and the mama in her place, and the kids in their place, now don't tell me we wouldn't have a different country. Come on. I wasn't saved long until I started doing something in the church, and that probably wasn't proper. Back then, there wasn't a discipleship class. I wasn't saved for about a month and a half, and the preacher came to me and said, "You're going to be the youth director." And I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, I couldn't even find the book of Concordance then." Well, you'll catch that after a while. You'll start looking for the book of Concordance. But he was the preacher, and he said, "You're going to do it." So she and I did it. And our song leader was one of the teenagers in the church. Now, the church back then, where we got saved, was running about 18 to 25. And so I met with the young people that first Sunday, and the song leader, who was the teenager, he was sitting in the back, and him and another kid was flipping, "Heads I win, tails you lose," you know. So I threw him out of my class. I just said, "Get out." And they kind of looked at me funny. I said, "You're going to sit and listen to me if you're going to sit in this class." So I was walking down the hall after after Sunday school, and the preacher said, "Where's Larry?" And I said, "I threw him out of my class." He said, "Why'd you do that?" I said, "He didn't come in there to listen. He came in there to play." Now, I meant business, and I mean business today, folks. Listen to me. And so he straightened him out. And then after we had a family and they got up to pretty good age, every morning before we went to Sunday school and church, we'd stop and we'd all hold hands. Dory's here this morning. And we'd pray for our preacher. We'd pray for our Sunday school teacher. And we'd talk to God and before we went to Sunday school. Is there anything wrong with that? Now, let me tell you something. It'd be wonderful if my church back home, if before they left, I'm not talking about the bus workers, people like that, if the daddy would stop at the door with the family, with the children, whatever, and say, "Let's pray before we leave this morning." Is there something wrong with that, folks? Why don't you take the lead, Dad, in doing that? Matter of fact, listen to me. I'm telling you, we need to get things back in proper order. We need to get things back like they are to be. God intended for a man to be a man and for a woman to be a woman, and he had a place for the woman, he had a place for the wife, and he had a place for her to function, and it's just as important as the man. Let me read this to you right quickly. Our time's passing on. In the Bible, and if you go back and you read in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 23, the Bible says, use the word for male is Z-O-K-A-R in the Hebrew. Now, I'm not trying to impress you with that. I don't know any more Hebrew than what I'm reading to you. And then you look in the Bible, and for the male it was Z-O-K-A-R, and for the female it was N-E-G-B-A-H. Now that was the Hebrew designated the man and the woman. And listen to me. With no kindred root, similar sound, or like appearance, however, here at the establishment of the first home, through the ordinance of marriage, the woman in Hebrew was I-S-H-A-H. And the man was I-S-H. Now, both of these words sound alike, and they seem to be alike, but the word I-S-H-A-H means to be soft. A woman is to be soft. A woman is to be feminine. And a man ought to treat her like a woman. Now, let me tell you something. Somebody says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me." That's a lie. Because the book of Proverbs says that the right kind of words are like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Now, you're not a big shot if you beat your wife down with words. You say, "You don't know who I live with. If I was her, I'd wait till you come home at night, be stand behind the door and take a ball bat and knock you out and tie you up and then let you go the next day." Now, let me tell you something again about a woman. They're emotional. They're going to go through emotional times, and you have to understand that. And seriously, you need to treat them like something that's soft. And if they don't act like something that's soft, that's okay. Still treat them that way. God made them uniquely a woman. And God made a place for the woman. And the man and the woman, listen to me now, are supposed to support each other. You're not supposed to bring a division in the children. If the daddy says something, later on the mama, now I'm talking about saying right things. Let's grow up here. Let's don't beat children. I'm talking about if the dad says the right things to the kids, And he has the right motive, later on, mama don't say, "Well, don't pay attention to him, kids." Now, I know I'm saying strange things today. And the same thing, if a woman's trying to teach the kids right and she's trying to raise them up right, Dad, don't you undo that. You support each other. The proper order is to support each other. The man has his place. The woman has her place. And I don't have time and a little bit to get to the children. The children have their place. And God made it that way. And you're supposed to support each other. Lady, you support your man. Listen, brag on him. Talk about him. Make him some banana pudding every now and then. Huh? My wife makes me some that's healthy, sugarless, but it's still good. And by the way, sir, if you'll treat her like a woman, she'll do that for you. And every now and then, you ought to just say to her, hey, forget it. Let's go out to eat somewhere. And take her out to where she wants to go. either McDonald's or Burger King or Hardee's, someplace like that. Now, what I'm about to say goes against my grain. Take her shopping every now and then. Huh? And act like you enjoy it. And she tries on 50 different things, say, boy, that looks good. Yeah, it looks good. Yeah, that looks good. Seriously, wouldn't it be wonderful if we get the proper order back in the home? Huh? Now, let me tell you something else, fellas. It's okay for you to bring a burden to your wife. I've wept on her shoulder more than anybody's shoulder. Amen. Listen to me. The Bible said a man should leave his father and mother and cleave. Yes. And a woman's supposed to do that. That word cleave means laminate. You ever try to pull something apart that's laminated? No outside forces to come between you. The children are not supposed to come between you. Now, let me hurry up, and I'm going to be real popular here. Nowadays, we have kids who run the home. It bothers me when a 50-pound kid can whoop a 250-pound man. Mm-hmm. My son can look at his kids with his eyes, and they instantly obey. And they love him. They love him. You go to his house, they're not running through there even when they're little, screaming, yelling. They were in their place. Come on, help me now. We're talking about the proper order. Amen. Children have a proper place in the home. And it's good for them to have that place. And what you can do is you sit down and tell them their place. You sit down and help them with that. I'm telling you, and nowadays, and I said, down where I am, deep south, the nowadays they're worshiping the grandkids. I mean that. Come over and see little Bubba. He just grew 3 new teeth. Well, he's going to grow some more. Miss church, go over and do that. I got families that want to move to where their kids are, not in the will of God, just to move to where the kids are. That ain't right, folks. What if they move? Had a family come see me. The dad came in and he said, preacher, you know, I've been retired for so many years and my kids live in a different state. And he said, we already made up our mind. Why was he talking to me? And most adults, that's the way they do it. They just come to get your approval. And he said, now his credit, he said, we did find a good church over there and we're going to move. We're going to be close to them. And what am I going to say? After he got moved over there, they moved. So he had to move. Now, that's okay if that's the will of God. Do you know even birds get rid of their kids? You ever think about that? They kick them out of the nest. Huh? Come on, folks. There's a time when kiddos got to grow up. I'm not for this thing. Well, we had to move back with mom and dad. No, not unless it's some unique situation. You need to train your kids to live on their own. Now, I'm talking about a proper order here. Husband, his place, mom and dad, their place, and the children, their place. And I like the picture, the old black and white picture. Now, forgive me. And you see a family picture. You remember, you've seen some of those. And you look, and the dad's like this. In other words, you ain't messing with him. Nowadays, you can't even go to see anybody. The kids, they want to come in and take over. Amen. Come on, folks. Now, listen to me. They need to be taught respect. Respect for the elders. Respect for you. And let me tell you another thing. If you lived in my house and you didn't like what you was eating, you went hungry. There wasn't none of this. Huh? Let me back up for a minute. You know, one day, if whatever, your son is going to have somebody who's an authority over him. Amen. He said, well, he's going to be a pastor. He's got the biggest authority over him. My kids weren't treated exactly right in school at times. Now, it wasn't that often. But I still made them respect the teacher. Now, the teacher's not always right, but they're the authority. Come on, folks. That's another thing we've messed up. If we'd get that back in order, you wouldn't see people spitting on cops anymore. Before I got saved, I had lived a pretty rough life, and I've been arrested a couple of times. And one time, me and a group of boys were standing over in Diamond Hill area in Fort Worth by Dairy Queen, and across the street came a black and white police car. And the policeman's name was Wilkes. And he got out, and he walked up, and we stand there, and he said, now, fellas, they sent me over here to calm you down. And he pulled out his nightstick, and it looked like it's 14 foot long. He said, let me tell you something, fellas. If I get close enough to use this nightstick, I'm going to pull out my 38 and shoot you in the belly button. We said, yes, sir. I know you don't like what I'm saying to you, and that's why you're raising a bunch of rebellious, stinking folk, and that's why we got them today.
Amen.
He wasn't over there to hurt us. We said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Matter of fact, I was down on Exchange Street one night down in North Fort Worth, Cattleman's Park down there, which is a pretty rough part of town, and I was having some problems with my car, and I looked, and he was sitting back there. And I went over and I said, Mr. Wilkes, I'm having a few problems with my car. You mind helping me get home? He said, Bob, you just follow me, son. I'll get you home. And then a few nights after that, we was at the Dairy Queen, and a friend of mine pulled up, and he had a 59 Chevrolet and had a 348 engine in it with three carburetors, and that thing would peel rubber going downhill. And he said, y'all want to ride in my car? And I said, no. One of my friends said, yeah, let's take a ride. I said, we take a ride. We're going to ride to jail. And sure enough, we got in there, and boy, he took off, and Mr. Wilkes was over where he said he's going to be. He got in behind us. Before it was over, three other cop cars was behind us. I'm sitting in the back seat thinking, I'm going to jail. And after about 35, 40 minutes, and we headed out to the country, got out in the country, and the engine heated up and stalled. And Mr. Wilkes pulled up, and the sheriff's deputy and two or three other policemen, and I got out, and I said, sir, I was along just for the ride. He said, you shouldn't have been along for the ride. You say, I don't like that, but that's when we had a different country.
Yeah.
You know what gets me? Have rebellious boys and say, well, I'm tired of people telling me what to do. I'm going to go in the Army.
Yeah.
Now, you need to teach your kids to respect
Amen. Authority.
Bob was working overnight while he was in Hiles Anderson College, and he called me up and he said, now, Dad, I want to talk to you a minute. Don't say anything till I finish, please. I said, okay. He said, the boss came in here last night and said to most of the guys, I'm going to take you fellas to supper. But he said, Bob, I'm not taking you. I said, he said, now, wait a minute, Dad, please hold me. Hold on. He said, I didn't say nothing. He said, the next night he came in and said, Bob, I was testing you. I'm going to give you a raise. Now, you think I'm stupid? You need to teach your children to obey authority.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, I'm talking about the proper order. And mama, you back that daddy up, and daddy, you back that mama. Don't let there be a confusion. Now, I've got to hurry. Listen to me. You've got to agree with me. We've got to get the family back. Your preacher will help you do that. I'm trying to help my families do that. Folks, we've got to have good families if we're going to keep this country. Amen. And there is a proper order in this Bible. And if a man will find his place in the Bible, sir, you can find your place in the Bible. And it doesn't mean that you're a weenie or a sissy. It takes a real man to find his place in the Bible. If you'll look in your Bible sometime and read it closely, there was a young man named Joseph who was treated awful. I mean awful for a young man. His brother sold him into slavery. Potiphar's wife lied about him. He was thrown in prison, but that young man kept his integrity. He kept his place. He kept honoring God. Now, I teach my men they are to be the best employee where they work. Is there something wrong with that? Come on. You are to be the best employee where you work. You're not just an example of church, you're an example everywhere. And listen to me. For 13 years, that young man was mistreated, lied about. Most of you would have called a lawyer. Amen. You threw a fit. But look what God did to him. I worked at Bell Helicopter over here in second shift when I was in Bible college. And as I said to the men in the class last night, they would carefully magnify, especially the rotor blades on those choppers. I mean, you're talking about a machine. I mean, it's a unique machine. And you couldn't have a crack anywhere in those rotor blades or it wouldn't fly right. And they'd magnify those parts under a great big old magnifying glass. And most of the men on the second shift were not saved. I met a couple of few fellas that were saved. They tried to get me to look through those magnifying glasses to women dressed scantily, and I wouldn't do it. Now listen to me. First night I worked there, I established my testimony. I told them, I said, I'm saved. I'm born again. I quit drinking liquor, I quit smoking cigarettes, I quit doing this, quit doing that. And I said, I don't think I'm better than any of the rest of you guys, but I'm saved and I want to honor God. Amen. Now listen to me, listen to me. I worked there for a year, and a church opened up, a big old church with 18 people. And they wanted me to come be their pastor with a lot of benefits. I supplied every one of them. I went to my boss. And I said, sir, I said, now, I'm going to give you 2 weeks' notice. I said I never would pastor and go to Bible college, and God changed all that. I said, I'm going to give you 2 weeks' notice, and I'm going to be gone. He said, what are you going to do? I said, pastor church. He said, what are they going to pay you? I said, that's up to them and me, but they're going to pay me. He said, look out through this plant. There's all kinds of preachers with degrees. I said, that's them. That's not me. He said, but they got steady jobs, they got sick leave, they got all kinds of benefits. And I said, sir, God called me to preach. He didn't call me to work at Bell Helicopter. He said, I'm going to hire two people for rehire. He said, we were going to promote you up to supervision if you just stay. He said, you'll be one of them. You say you're bragging? What kind of worker are you where you were? Now, fellas, let's get the proper order back. Let's get the dad back where he belongs, just a good man, wonderful man. Get the mama back where she belongs. Let's get the kids back. Would there be something wrong with that? Would there be something wrong with that? Now, you can't be the kind of dad you ought to be unless you're saved. You got to be born again. You can't be the kind of mama you ought to be unless you're born again. And the kind of child you ought to be unless you're born again. Would you bow your heads, please?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.